The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's fucking cold. Took us a while to get here, but here we are, January 19th at the time of recording. This is our first episode of the year.
Of the year.
Of the 2025.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I kind of made a New Year's resolution to, okay, let's get more, let's do this a little more often.
Mm-hmm.
But
here we are. 3 weeks into the year.
Finally getting to it now. But it's definitely going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. I think we've got quite a kick-ass show to get into.
There's a lot
going on in the wonderful world of pro wrestling.
Sure is.
Before we kind of get into everything, though, and this episode, I don't think is going to be like a 3-hour marathon like we have in the past.
Nope.
Because as we sit and do this, you know, as we speak in just over an hour, we're going to be sitting down and watching GCW versus the world.
From the Hammerstein Ballroom.
That's the big one. Love that venue.
And friend of the show, Sarah, is there.
Okay. Oh, excellent.
For GCW.
Excellent.
That shit. I've been bugging her all week about it.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. There's just something about that building.
Oh, I know. It's got an aura to it.
It does. Yeah. It does. And so I'm really looking forward to that. But before we get on with the grunt, as my dad would say, unfortunately, as you heard at the top of the hop, we do have some shout outs and we had some dedications that we kind of have to get to because we lost Sweet Daddy Siki and Bob Uecker this past week or so. Mm-hmm. Sweet Daddy Siki definitely would be before your guys' time. Do you know anything? Have you heard like anything?
I am not familiar with either of them, unfortunately. But if you can enlighten the two of us, then
I'm not sure.
By the time like Sweet Daddy Siki, his prime was even before my time.
Okay,
but as I caught him in his like the tail end of his career, like you could see, okay, this is definitely a grizzled veteran.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not exactly flying around the ring, but he was very charismatic. And I caught him during when we were getting the old Montreal International Wrestling up here for those couple years and all that. And it's like, okay, I don't quite know who this is, but I can kind of tell, okay, this guy was someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he passed away, you do a little bit of your homework, and it's like, yeah, I knew he was something, but I didn't know exactly how much of a something that he indeed was. You know, at first, you know, he started down in the U.S., and there was, you know, in the 60s, the 50s, the 60s, and stories of KKK sitting front row to make sure that he lost or something, like just like these wild stories, you know, because it's down in the South.
Yeah, that's
you know, and he's African American and all that. And so he pretty much met a girl, like I believe he was from Canada, went to the US, came back, and that's where, you know, the remainder of his career was. He's, you know, in Stampede and in the Maritimes, and then like I said, I finally saw him in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was old when I was young. Okay, it's too bad that he passed away, but he lived a good life.
And mm-hmm.
you know, like if anyone was to write a book, he would have been definitely the guy. I imagine he would have a lot of amazing stories.
No doubt.
Right. And does the name Bob Uecker mean anything to you guys?
Sounds familiar, but I'm not familiar with the body of work.
Okay, yeah. Well, who Bob Uecker was, he was a sports broadcaster, baseball.
Oh, okay.
And he's actually in the WWE Hall of Fame in the celebrity wing because didn't he get, he made some Mania appearances?
Yeah.
Strangled by Andre.
Oh, yes. Or, that's the guy. Yeah. That's the guy. Yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah. Okay.
That's Bob Uecker. Yeah. Yeah. Now, obviously.
I honestly thought he was dead already.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I hate to say it, but somebody was telling me that, well, I thought he passed away a couple years ago.
Yeah. When I saw that, I'm like, huh?
Well, that was much in the way that, that's what I thought when Bob Barker died. I was like,
wait a minute.
Yeah. I was like, I thought he already, okay, awkward, but.
Right, it's like even the other week when Jimmy Carter died.
Oh, yeah.
We're just like what?
Yeah. It's like, Jimmy, oh.
He lived to what?
Yeah. 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 Wow. Yeah. And even if you're not a wrestling fanatic or even if you don't really follow sports, little bit of homework here, guys. Check out the movies Major League and Major League 2 because he kind of sort of quasi played himself because these were baseball movies based on the old Cleveland Indians.
Right, yeah.
Okay, and he was the play-by-play guy and he was absolutely fantastic because what do they say in pro wrestling? The best gimmicks are yourself.
Amplified.
With the volume cranked.
Yeah.
That's exactly, what Bob Uecker was in these movies. And those first two major leagues are old favorites of ours. We watch them at least once a year now. And
yep.
So, yeah, it's too bad. But once again, Uecker was old when I was young, or getting up there. So, yeah. More of my childhood is passing away, literally dying before my eyes.
That's
too bad. And, of course, baseball fans my age will definitely remember all the contributions that Uecker gave to the sports, but
for sure.
We'll something a little more fun.
Yep.
Shall we? Let's jump right into it. And first and foremost, I guess what we should do is get into, because recently up here in the Great White North, God only knows that's what it is today. Like, I think we're minus 40 or whatever.
Oh, at least.
It's pretty cold.
It's like I was saying to you guys when you first came in. I popped out the door to take out the trash a couple of times, and I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. It just hit me.
It's pretty nipply out there. But
we had a bit of a blizzard a couple of days ago, and, like, luckily I just got a bit of a drift in front of my steps, which I took care of, and after that I was like, hey, I'm not shoveling anymore. I don't need to.
That's right.
I can see my driveway. We're good.
Yeah.
Well, we are a hardy folk, shall we say. I remember when Jim Brunzell referred to Winnipeggers as a hardy folk.
Okay.
I always remembered that. So, just a little while ago, as we speak, our Winnipeg Wrestling Federation Wrestling United was packed!
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to turn it over to our good buddy Ducky, because what exactly do you do with them?
I'm just ring crew right now.
Your ring crew? Yeah.
But, okay. I mean, you still get to mingle with the talent, and you know all the ins and outs of the...
Right. Right, so I figured...
No, you would say the biz.
The biz,
you're in the biz.
The hustle and bustle.
That's right. So we're going to turn it over to you, and you're going to tell us all about the latest card with Wrestling United.
All right. Our latest Wrestling United card was called On Thin Ice.
Okay. Mm.
Because, winter, cold, bullshit. Again, another great Wrestling United card from everybody that we have our roster. The first match of the evening was Harlan Abbott defeated Jack Ledger. Great match.
Okay.
That match actually won match of the night.
Wow, the curtain jerker.
We do a crowd vote.
Okay.
The next day on Facebook. Well, the...
Right.
Yeah, Zach and Dorian and Mike do that. And yeah, and that won match of the night.
Oh, jeez.
So good. Match two, we had NWA's Taylor Rising defeated Kat Von Hees and Riley Rose. Kat Von Hees, local competitor. She's very great. Riley Rose, at the moment, I'm blanking on where she's from, but she's not a Winnipeg girl. but she's nice. Great. She's young. She's 4 years into the business and she's 18.
Wow.
So she's definitely got a good road ahead of her for her. Next, the match after that was a tag team match between Antonio Scorpio and Mr. Incredible, defeated Andy Anderson and Bobby Brennan. You should recognize the name Andy Anderson.
Andy Anderson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been around.
Because he wrestled in the late 90s, was it here? And then he didn't wrestle again here until the first Wrestling United show.
Oh, okay. They brought him out of retirement.
So seeing him every
they backed up
couple
bricks.
Months is great. Okay. After that, we had Tommy Lee Curtis defeating Sean Moore.
Tommy Lee Curtis. That's great.
Tommy Lee Curtis is actually one half of the WPW Tag Team Champions right now.
Oh, okay.
The Gospel.
Okay.
Do they bring attention to the fact that his name is TLC, or is that just kind of like supposed to be like a wink and a nod?
Shit, I didn't
probably. I didn't think of that either. Yeah. Okay. After that.
Well, Matt's on the ball right on.
Yeah. After that, we had Taylor the Impaler defeated Tyler James. Mm. Nice. At the first Wrestling United show, the announcer kind of messed up and said Toxic Taylor James. So he loves it. It's just like, Taylor. We just chant Taylor at him and eats it up. Great. After that, we had Scorpius defeating Cannonball Kelly.
Scorpius. That's
he's from, I think, Alberta somewhere.
Okay. That sounds like the name of like a Transformer or something.
Yeah.
Or I know they had Beast Wars had Scorponok, but yeah. That's
very good match as well.
Scorpius.
Cannonball Kelly took an apron bump and
Apron bumps are always like
terrifying.
Yeah.
Yes.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
He did like a the backdrop where they just we're sitting there like, oh god, why?
Yeah. I saw there was a pretty terrifying one of those on Raw this past week in the women's intercontinental title match. But
that suplex off the apron?
Yeah, because I think Lyra Valkyria picked her up on the wrong side.
Yeah.
And then she picked her up on the outside of the apron, and then they both just went to the floor and that smack, and I was like, oh, I don't think that was supposed to happen.
Is that a WWE bump of the year so far?
Or pretty early on, but I'd say so far, yeah, it's a pretty good contender.
After this, we had the third match between TJ Cannon and Shane Madison, this time in a St. Boniface street fight.
Nice.
Shane Madison, there's another name.
It was originally in French as Combat de, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know French, so I don't know. Very good.
I do not know your basic French.
I don't know French.
You didn't take French in elementary and middle school?
I don't remember shit.
Well, I haven't taken French since middle school either, but I still know
I'm not bilingual or anything, but I got a grip.
I still know what bonafette means, and je m'appelle, and bonjour. Yeah, bonjour, au revoir. I probably shouldn't be doing the accent, but you know, you go to Montreal more than either of us.
I go to Montreal twice a year.
Shit, man.
Yeah. I don't know anything.
You should be bilingual.
Yeah. Montreal is basically just St. Boniface, but everywhere.
Yeah. Anyways, and this match was great. Happy no one got injured in this. They were sore, of course. Because there was a packed pile driver off the apron through a table. There was, instead of thumbtacks, it was a bag of ice.
Okay.
Went outside.
That's cool.
Chunks of ice.
That's a little less dangerous, because at least it doesn't get stuck in your skin and stay there for a while.
We were worried about it, but it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a street fight. Stop signs, chairs.
No,
trash cans.
Ice, yeah. It's like, yeah. I think
shovel because Winnipeg.
Of course. Yeah. Ice looks just as cool, but it doesn't have the lingering cringy effects like glass does.
Yeah.
That's
it's going to suck landing on chunks of ice.
But at least it doesn't stick in you.
Yeah.
at least it melts.
Yeah.
But it's the same, I don't know if you guys know this. That's an old photography trick. Whenever they do a photo shoot that involves breaking ice or breaking glass, they just use ice because it's easy. Uh-huh. It's easier to clean up and it's less dangerous. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not know that.
I learned that from Mick Mars.
So were they stop signs or arret signs?
Arret signs.
Arret
signs.
Nice.
Of course they were.
Arret
signs. Yeah. It's cool. And then our main event.
Da-da-da-da.
We flew in Matt Riddle.
Right on.
And he defeated Michael Allen Richard Clark.
Is he still, or is he still called the original bro, or is that a WWE thing?
He uses the theme song.
Oh, he's like, he's still the
yeah, I believe like, so, because oh. It starts with bro.
Oh.
And then.
Well, I'll have to hear it. I'll know if it's the same one. Yeah. Trust me.
I probably won't.
Okay.
You would. And it was a good time. We all went out with him after.
Yeah, you all had a bro down.
We had a bro down.
Yeah, you had a bromance going with Matt Riddle.
Yeah, I helped. I helped a bit with VIP. The last like 20 minutes of VIPing and hang with him, and then after the show, he was like, "I got beers and joints for us at the bar when you get there, Dustin." I'm like, "Cool." And then we got there, and yeah, it was a good time. And then,
I gotta ask, does he actually call everybody bro?
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Really? Yeah, so this is Riddle's this cool. is what you see on TV is what you get.
Yeah.
With Riddle, that's good.
Riddle's
that's
cool. Good. At one point. He FaceTimed his wife, and he's like, "These are all my friends."
He's like, "Hey, bro, these are all my bros.
These are all my bros.
These are all my bros, bro. Let me say goodnight to the little bros."
It was awesome.
I might not remember their name tomorrow. But...
And then at the end of the night, when I was leaving, he was like, "Dustin, come here," and he just gave me the biggest, like, a crazy drunk hug. It's like, "Bro," and I'm like, "All right, Matt, cool. I'm drunk too."
Hug. Right on.
And I was. I'm sure he was hurting the next day. I know I was.
Yeah.
That hangover sucked, but it was it was a good time.
Well, at least he doesn't have to live life on the road doing shows every single night like he did in WWE.
Yeah.
So.
And if he's headlining sold-out indie shows, that's good.
Yeah, and now he's MLW World
he
Champion.
Is.
Yeah.
He is.
He won the that was the show after here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so it was the night after? Or
well,
the
like,
couple
2 days later.
Okay, so he had time to recover from the hangover.
Right.
Okay.
He had a day, a day of travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Kings of Coliseum, new MLW world champion. Mm-hmm. Good on him.
Oh, good for him.
I got to ask, though, being an NWA fan, Taylor Rising was on the bill.
Yep.
Did you have a chance to speak with her?
Not this time. Didn't really have a chance to speak to her this time. I got to talk to her last time she was here, our last show in October.
Right.
I got to talk to her. A bit, but I'll try and set up like show interviews for next round.
That might be a good idea.
Which, since I can say now, the next show is February 20th at our Park Theater.
Excellent.
I'm curious to how they're gonna set the ring up in that room because if for those of you who don't know what the Park Theater is, the floor is angled because it used to be an old movie theater.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how they're going to successfully set the ring up on that floor.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they'll have to put some sort of a platform on the floor to wedge against the stage to level it out a little bit. But
or if it'll fit on the stage, I don't know.
No, you can't put it on the stage. That's
I remember.
I know that worked at the Burt, but.
I remember years ago at the IWA here in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
They had some tapings at the Burton Cummings Theater, which the Walker Theater. And they put the ring on the stage, and I thought, well, this is kind of dumb. You know, like, you need people surrounding, or at best you can, and all that. It just it wasn't a very good aesthetic.
I don't know what we're gonna do for that. I mean, it'll get figured out soon anyway.
Well, and I'm glad that it's at the park, I think.
All I can say about it.
Fair enough.
That's all you need to say about it right now.
Yeah.
Probably by the time this, by the time this episode comes out, more information will be readily available.
Yeah.
But...
Or I'll just ply him with liquor tonight. And
he'll
tell us everything.
You brought a 2-6 of vodka with
that's
you.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's right. No, I can't tell you anything. Yeah. Guys. Drink up.
Just shove the bottle down his throat. I can DoorDash us some beers, you know?
I got to work at 8 a.m. tomorrow. I don't care.
I want to know.
Yeah.
What show are you working? Some 41. You'll be fine.
You're calling in sick.
So this is a dumb question. This is moot, but Wrestling United, horns up, horns down.
I'll
horns
do horns
middle,
up.
Horns up.
Of course. Yeah. I wasn't there, but it sounded like a great
time.
It
was fantastic.
You guys got to come to the next one.
We'll have to get there at some point. It's been a while since the three of us have gone to a wrestling show together.
I think one of the last ones was WPW.
I think the WPW at the WEC when it was
Josh Alexander.
Yeah, when Josh Alexander came in.
And then Ally Catch and Jody.
Yes, that's true. And the main event was Sweet Bobby Shank versus Alex the hell is his name? Oh, I don't know. I don't know
AJ
my
Sanchez?
Yeah, AJ Sanchez. That's it. Yeah, AJ Sanchez versus Sweet Bobby Schenk. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're fighting for the tag titles at WPW next weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll be at that.
Together?
Yeah.
Are they like one of those, or I don't
know. Together.
Are they like one of those odd couple tag teams? It's like, how will they coexist? Like one of those, or are they actually.
I don't know how that story's going, but like they're teaming right now and it's cool.
Okay.
I enjoy it.
And are WPW and Wrestling United kind of inter, do they have talent sharing or
is it? Tommy Lee Curtis.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm like, I don't follow the local scene as much as I probably should, but
yeah, me neither.
Yeah, but I'm just curious if they're like they got some exclusivity going on, or if it's like, or
I'm honestly not sure. I'm not in that range of things.
Yeah, I didn't know if WPW and Wrestling United were like cool with each other, or if it's just like one of those like bitter rivalries where they stare at each other from across the room.
Well, it's like, yeah, I hate to say it, but years ago, like when we had a whole bunch of little. And I'm talking super indie, like none of the indies 20, 30 years ago or whatever weren't really, like they weren't selling out theaters.
No.
Like WPW is now and Wrestling United is.
No, it was like they were literally at like bingo halls. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah. And the competition, and it's like, you guys are, it was so bad, so much. Back and forth on the internet, and you know, it's just like you guys are fighting over nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you guys should be concentrating on working together instead of three little indies. You guys should pool your talent, pool your resources, and make just the Winnipeg Wrestling Federation make it. You know, but they just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately,
Winnipeg
it looks
Wrestling
like
Federation, WWF.
Well, yeah, you know, it looks like that's what's going on now. You know, it doesn't seem like there's
it's just
all
good
of that.
This city has a bunch of we're a wrestling city. That's what I love.
Yeah, like you got your options just like you do on TV.
Yep.
Or streaming now, not really on TV.
I don't know how CWE shows are doing because I don't go to them.
Okay.
Anymore. But like WPW shows are selling out.
I know that.
Yeah.
But
I believe the next one, that little quick one on February 6th, I think just sold out.
Okay.
It's called At the Movies. They're doing just three matches. Tickets were like $10.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
They're doing three matches and then they're filming a movie. And Raj Dejesh, Jinder Mahal.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So he's there.
Right. Yes.
And, like, it was, like, every ticket you can get a meet and greet for $20.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
I was just like, Jinder Mahal? Yep.
I gotta wonder if an MLP show will ever come here. Maple Leaf Pro?
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
That'd be really cool.
Yes, yes. I am totally in love with that.
Yeah.
There's a big article in the latest Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I saw some videos on YouTube with it. The roster looks great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm really enjoying that. I'm really, and it's Scott D'Amore's new league.
Yep.
So, yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Like, he was actually backstage at AEW this past week. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Who knows what that could.
Who knows what.
I know they had like a talent sharing thing going on between them because a bunch of AEW guys were on the first MLP show.
Right.
Takeshita defended the international title.
Right.
That, so.
Right.
And Ricochet attacked him.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Hopefully, you know, big things for Maple Leaf Pro. And it's an extension of the old NWA territory.
Yeah.
Of Maple Leaf Wrestling, which eventually became a WWF TV program. And then they dissolved that. And now it seems to be back. But. Yeah, I remember, I was in my teens, and I made friends with this guy, his name was Derek, okay, we were teenagers. He wasn't a wrestling fan, but he found out I was.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, I remember when I was living in Toronto, like, I would go to the wrestling cards every once in a while. So I'm thinking WWF, you know, like, he's not a wrestling fan, so I said, well, who did you go see? You know, Harley Race was defending against Ric Flair. I'm like, fuck. like, motherfucker.
You dick.
like, you have no idea the awesome thing that you went and saw, and you're like, eh, you know,
yeah.
It was wrestling. It was just Harley Race and Ric Flair.
Harley Race and Ric Flair. I'm like,
just. Mm.
Well, he wasn't a fan, so he didn't get
just
it.
Just a guy who almost died in the ring twice 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
So
that was scary.
So yeah, big stuff. I hope this Maple Leaf Wrestling, like Maple Leaf Pro, like catches on and mm-hmm. you know, it goes national, like some sort of TV deal, which Sportsnet, since we're talking about it. I know I'm skipping over something here, but
well, that's fine.
Since we're talking about national TV, Sportsnet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lost all of their WWF programming. Okay. So maybe, you know, if they're looking for some, because we have a thing up here, 33%
well,
Canadian content.
That is true, but keep in mind that Sportsnet has picked up TNA to kind of fill that spot.
Well, that was going to be the next thing I got to. Like,
So they aren't wrestling free like I thought they were going to be after WWE left.
No, no. But we'll kind of get to that a little bit later because I want to get into the fact that, WWE on Netflix now.
Yep.
As of January 1st up here in Canada.
Yep.
We get Raw, SmackDown,
NXT,
and the premium live events.
Okay.
Are you guys enjoying this? Are you liking this?
So far, it's pretty cool. Like, I definitely didn't expect all the stuff that there was to be on Netflix on the day of launch.
Okay.
But, yeah, that I will say the weirdest part of it was the fact that, like, for 5 straight years that I've lived in this home, the WWE Network was always just kind of, like, on when I would turn on the TV.
Okay.
And the cable would be on. And now, like, on January 1st, I just turned the TV on and it just wasn't there. And like I go to the channel that it was on the guide and it just says this content is no longer available or no longer available from the service provider. And I was like, wow. The weird thing is though, that it still gives you the option to like subscribe to it and pay for it, even though it like canceled my subscription automatically.
Oh, okay.
So apparently what I've heard, you don't get access to the library anymore if you subscribe, but you get access to the channel still because it's still going on in certain countries that didn't have the Netflix deal.
Okay.
So but I'm just like, oh, at the same time, I was like, do I really need it, though? Like, it was cool to have for the pay-per-views and stuff, but if I'm not getting the library and if it's only just going to be, like, random documentaries and stuff that I could probably easily look up, is it worth the $13 a month? Probably not. So and that okay. and I've already had to resub to Netflix anyway, so that's just extra money that I'm spending. So but no, like going on to Netflix on New Year's Day and like seeing all that stuff on there just readily available, like pretty almost every episode of Raw and SmackDown, all these old pay-per-views, like all the old WrestleManias, SummerSlams, Royal Rumbles, like just
all the No Mercy.
Yeah, like all the just all the any like little like one-off WWE pay-per-views. I think Canadian Stampede was on there, the In Your House from Calgary.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't the In Your House from Winnipeg on there too?
I don't know. I'm going to have to check.
I know which one that is. Yeah, we'll have to look that one up.
There is one because my buddy Jason was there.
Okay. We'll have to go look at that before maybe after GCW tonight we'll look into that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was cool seeing it all on there, just so readily available. And I'm like, all right, I guess this is a thing now, because I wasn't sure how it was going to look on the initial startup. I thought they were just going to gradually start bringing stuff over. But like, granted, there is no WCW, ECW, AWA, any of the stuff that was on the old network. But I feel that might come in time.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because I know it's still like there's things you can click on that it says, oh, these pay-per-views won't be here till March or like April.
Yeah. Well, yeah, over time I'm sure we'll start to get episodes of like old WCW and all their pay-per-views and like Nitro and Thunder and Saturday Night perhaps. I don't think Saturday Night was on the old network though. I think they just had Nitro and Thunder and the pay-per-views, but yeah, maybe we'll get old episodes of Sunday Night Heat. Who knows?
Velocity.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I don't know.
SmackDown Sunday Night Heat. But
Sunday Night SmackDown.
Yeah, but it was cool, and I'm looking forward to how the pay-per-views or premium live events are going to be presented going forward. But so far, I've enjoyed the availability of everything and the access to all this stuff, and the live content as it's streaming has been pretty cool too, because that's something I've never experienced on Netflix before. Because unlike 60 million other people around the world, I didn't watch the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight, so. I was just relieved that the first episode of Netflix or Raw on Netflix didn't have any buffering issues.
Yeah,
it was in the back of my mind. I'm not going to lie, even though I also knew at the front of my mind that they weren't going to do anywhere near 60 million views.
Oh, no.
So I think they did the final number worldwide was around 4.6 million. So which is quadruple their ratings of the last episode of Raw on Monday. On cable on the USA Network,
and even the football games drew more on Christmas.
Yeah, and those went fine.
Yeah,
so yeah, NFL easily outdraws WWE any day of the week.
Yeah. I guess it's Taylor's boyfriend season going on.
Oh yeah,
the NFL playoffs. That's what I call it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about football, but Taylor Swift sounds like he's pretty fast.
That's right. What about you, dude? Like, are you liking the product on Netflix? Yeah.
The product. I know you hate that term.
Yeah, I know.
It is what it is, though. Yeah.
It is, basically.
I am liking it on Netflix, yeah. The no commercials thing's fantastic. I love it.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? So am I. Yeah. Like, a lot of, you guys are probably going to be surprised by what I'm going to say.
I was surprised at how much you were enjoying it. I'm just like,
yeah, a lot of our listeners are going to be like, what the fuck? Okay, pod person.
Snowy!
What did you do with Snowy? I know the first episode
of Raw took 32 minutes before the first match, but.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But the first segment and the first match took up the first hour of the show.
And then the second match and the second segment took out the second hour.
Yeah.
Of the show.
Well, the whole thing without ads was 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Just under. So.
And even Raw last week was 2.5.
Yeah, that seems to be the sweet spot that they want to hit.
I'm cool. But, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But what I don't get is there's still people talking about how people were going over and things were getting cut, but it's they don't have a hard out like they did when they were on cable.
You want to go into extra innings, you can.
Yeah, so it's who the fuck is backstage just going nope, we got to cut this segment.
It's all those people going, oh, people are mad that Penta went over. It's fuck off.
Well, they were saying the same thing about The Rock and I think it was just The Rock, yeah.
Are you going to go up and tell Dwayne 2 minutes?
Yeah. Well, they had to tell him that on NXT when he came out and basically cut a nothing promo.
Yeah.
He had 6 minutes. But in America, they were kind of at the mercy of the CW network. Yeah. But
oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah,
SmackDown?
SmackDown's on USA. They're still on cable in the US. So they still have hard outs. But Raw, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's
if you want.
Yeah. It's Triple H even said, episodes can run anywhere from 40 minutes to 4 hours if he wants.
Yep.
That would be a hell of a thing if an episode of Raw was only 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
But it'd be it'd be the early years when you take out the commercials. It would be about 40 minutes long.
Yep.
When Raw was a 1 hour show.
I'm with it on Netflix. I'm actually watching it all now.
Yeah.
I've seen every Raw, every SmackDown since the first, and the one New Year's Evil.
Oh, the NXT. Yeah.
And
Julia won the NXT Women's
Championship. And Obafemi won the NXT Championship.
I'm a little bummed that Shotzi took Stephanie Vaquer's number one contender for the North American title.
Yeah, I am too, but I'm sure Stephanie Vaquer will get something.
Yeah.
She'll get a championship eventually.
Yeah.
I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, she's one I'm enjoying.
Yeah. But as for the premiere, the first episode of Raw on Netflix, it felt a little odd, I should say, because they weren't really playing into the stories as much as it was. It felt more like a special episode of Raw, or like they were trying to be a pay-per-view or something.
Yeah,
because it definitely didn't have the same feeling as an every week episode of Raw. It was more for the casual fan and for the sponsors and all that.
Yeah,
so
I think they were trying to get get it off with a good push.
Yeah.
By presenting a pay-per-view MLE.
Yeah.
Whatever.
MLE.
Whatever. Premium live event.
Yeah. kind of give it that feel. Good observation.
Let's have the Rock block for 25 minutes.
Yeah, and Triple H had to have his big epic fucking introduction when they unveiled that big cube-shaped curtain around the ring.
That was cool, though.
Yeah.
I like that.
But and then they were
at least the Fortnite logo's not on the mat anymore.
Yeah, right in the middle. But the Real American Beer logo, unfortunately, is. But we'll get to that.
The other stuff, the library. Are you guys enjoying that? Like, what you've seen so far?
I haven't started Raw from the beginning yet or SmackDown because not all the SmackDown is there yet, to my knowledge.
You intend to do that though?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. That's
maybe not from like 93, but like maybe like 99, 2000.
Yeah, that's I'm even that's like almost 20 years of shit. Yeah, like that's wow. Or 30 years. Yeah. Jeez, that's 30 years of stuff there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Every week. 50, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see me
I couldn't do that. Like
Because honestly, like you have the live stuff, great.
Yeah.
Okay, and whatever premium live event that I don't get here to see with you guys, at least I know I can watch it at home.
Yeah, well, because you never had the WWE Network as part of your cable package. Yeah, so.
There's no way I was ordering it.
Okay, well, since you already had Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it's been no extra expense now. But the library stuff, right now, they're just... wasn't a whole hell of a lot for me.
Yeah, I guess not. Since they didn't have like the old WCW, NWA, AWA stuff, I guess. Like the older WWF stuff, like the older WrestleManias, I guess you probably
I did. Out of the library stuff.
With the exclusion of the Hulk Hogan stuff.
Oh, yeah. I fast forward.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the main events. Well, no, I sat through WrestleMania 1. That was the very first thing that I watched.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's like part of me wants to, because I don't want to see Hogan and Mr. T, but I want to see Piper and Orndorff.
Yeah,
you know,
the double-edged sword.
Yeah. So I sat through that. I watched the first two Manias minus whatever Hogan stuff that I could skip on.
So you're gonna have to skip the main event of at least 8.
Yeah. WrestleMania 2 was the one that it was simulcast from two different locations.
Three different locations. Okay. And I was in the old Winnipeg arena for that because it was closed circuit. So it was kind of cool seeing all these matches again. I enjoyed the first King of the Ring tournament because what had happened is at the time I didn't have pay-per-view. I had a little one. She's not so little anymore.
No.
You know, I had a little one, so pay-per-views weren't, you know, very high on the priority, but I would get the audio, but the video is scrambled.
Yes, yeah. I've watched pay-per-views like that before.
So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to listen to King of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like old-time radio or whatever. And then from what I heard of the Kurt Hennig Bret Hart match, it's like, oh my God, this is match of the year. Even though I just listened to it, fuck it. I ended up ordering it anyways, which I knew I really shouldn't have. You know, which might be Genesis tonight. Okay, because that card is fucking stacked. I don't know if I want to drop $35 on a pay-per-view right at this moment.
I'm not going to lie, the inclusion of NXT... having their logo on the poster now, it makes it a little more tempting, but we'll get to that later on. Yeah.
It all depends on how much I have to drink while we're watching Game Changer, whether or not I actually order Genesis tonight.
The more you drink, the smaller $35 seems to get.
Yes. That's why he brought a 2-6.
You think about it. It's like, well, I spent $35 on this bottle of vodka.
Well, you know, do they say, you know,
I've also spent $35 on records.
What's the old saying? Let's get drunk and make bad choices. And
yeah.
Okay. If my bad choice
is ordering
a wrestling,
a single rep.
Like that's not so bad.
Yeah.
My bad choice ordering a wrestling pay-per-view was Clash of Champions 2007.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that's a period that you wouldn't want to be ordering WWE pay-per-views.
I just ordered it for Benoit and Punk, and, well, we all know what happened there.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right, then that's when John Morrison became ECW champion. Yep.
Wow.
That's how we will forever remember it.
Yep. Plus, also, that pay-per-view was terrible.
Yeah. It was like a little awkward when Morrison came out, and it was just like, whoa, well, what's going on here? And we didn't know anything at the time. And then the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, looks like Genesis is pretty stacked. It's a hell of a bill.
In an hour, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is 4:59 at the time. At the current time, it's 4:59 Winnipeg time. So,
6 p.m. he's going to be like, guys.
We will give you live updates on the Facebook page as they happen.
There we are. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of exhausted out of what I'm interested, apart from all the takeovers.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, I've never... No, I think I might have come here for a couple takeovers over the years.
When they were still a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I guess they're not. Are they not a thing anymore?
Or? They've dropped the name Takeover ever since 2.0, or when it became NXT 2.0 for a brief period of time.
Okay.
And then even after that, they didn't really bring back the whole Takeover thing because, I don't know, I guess that was kind of Triple H's thing, was the NXT Takeover. So.
All right.
And then they started doing like special episodes of the show that were named after like old WCW pay-per-views. And then NXT are kind of doing a monthly thing now too. Whereas when they were takeovers, they would just do like kind of a companion pay-per-view along with the Big Five.
Oh,
so they would do like this is back when WWF was still doing all their pay-per-views, as they were even still called it. Like, this is back in like 2017, 2018. I'm talking.
Okay.
Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series were all still on Sundays. So then the NXT TakeOver that would correspond with that would be on the Saturday. And like, I remember everyone thinking at the time, just like, the NXT TakeOver was just the better of the two for the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Like,
it usually was.
It always was. Not usually. But, yeah, I miss those times. But at the same time, the trade-off of not having Vince there and having Triple H run the actual main roster now, I'd say it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Old Chef Shawn Michaels is doing some pretty good cooking down in NXT mm-hmm. himself these days. So, yeah, like... Really, like, the nostalgia of the old takeovers is great, and I do miss Mauro Ranallo's commentary.
Yeah.
But, mamma mia! Malfunction at the junction! Etc.
Yeah.
NXT, like, the takeovers had, like, just better in-ring. Like, the women, the female matches,
and they were
always
amazing.
They were
That's because it was run by Hunter and Shawn.
Oh, Sean wasn't running it at the time.
It was just
Hunter.
Yeah.
But
They
were. But the great thing about NXT TakeOvers that has now bled over into main roster WWE pay-per-views is that they were all 5 matches, 2.5 hours long.
There we go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is way more palatable than like 14 matches and 4 or 5 hours, like what Vince was doing. Like on paper, it seemed great. You're
like
just like, oh, look how much I'm getting.
Like what AEW is doing now.
Yeah, yeah. Like on paper, it's just like, oh, I'm getting my money's worth. But at the same time, by the end of it, you're just like, oh my god, I just want to go to bed.
It's like, save that just for WrestleMania. It's normally 8 hours anyway, but fuck.
Well, now that WrestleMania is split into 2 nights, that's way more palatable now. The whole WrestleMania seems like a bigger weekend event now because of the whole 2-night thing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people argue against that, thinking that the 1-night, 8-hour marathon was a better idea. But
no.
I'm just, after WrestleMania 35, I was just like, please don't. Please don't ever again. And then, like, after being kind of forced into doing it with the pandemic for WrestleMania 36, I'm glad they just kept on doing that because it's been
great.
And I like having the WrestleMania weekend at my place now. It's fun. I enjoy it. It's like I said, palatable, not exhausting. Like,
And now with it being on the network, okay, like if I don't want to sit through 8 hours of WrestleMania, I've got the option of watching whatever is going to be on Triller, because there'll be a bunch of indie shows on that. And then throughout the week at my leisure, I can go to Mania and watch whatever I want, fast forward all the crap.
Yeah. You know? I do like having the luxury of being able to fast forward through or of just not having to experience commercials for the main roster TV shows. Cause I'm just like, okay. Like before, I would usually just watch an hour in and then it's just fast forward, but now I don't even have to pick up my remote. It's great. I love it.
So WWE on Netflix, first 2 weeks, horns up, horns down, horns in up. The middle.
I'd say horns up. But
that Damian Priest Balor street fight was
good. Yeah, that the second episode of Raw on Netflix definitely felt like an episode of Raw as opposed to the first one. Yep. So yeah. More matches, everything, the storylines flowed. There was no unnecessary cameos from certain people. You know who I mean.
Terry.
we're gonna get to that.
No, I know. That was as much as I hate the guy, that was probably the most entertaining part of that episode.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Yeah, and for me, for the whole thing, the library, in the middle, but leaning up.
Yeah.
You know, because the live stuff has been fantastic.
Right.
I've gotten my fill of what I want to see. I just need more of what I want to see.
Yeah, well, I feel that in time, we'll be getting that.
Oh, so, yeah. Once you start throwing the territories in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, once they announce that the AWA stuff is all on there, I don't think we're going to see you for a while.
Oh, no. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I might not be married a year from now.
Oh, Jesus. Don't say that.
Well, she does say, like, when wrestling's on or there's lots of hockey or whatever, she'll say, like, oh, you're going to be out of my hair tonight then, right? Like, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So she just goes in the other room and does her own thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, fair enough. We're kind of at that age that
you can just do things separately, but still, okay.
Like, we're not sewn at the arm and all that. Like, no, that's, you do your shit, I'll do mine.
That's just as important in relationships. Of course. So able to do things on your own. So.
And there's a ton of stuff that we still watch together, like movies and certain hockey games as well. Like,
yep.
You know, that's always going to be a thing. So, but probably the most entertaining thing in the last 2 weeks in pro wrestling.
Oh, boy.
Was our good buddy the Hulkster.
Holy
jeez. The fucking shitstorm that caused. Like, okay, he came out and he was just there to push his beer.
The real American lager.
It's just, okay, here's a guy. Say your prayers. Take your vitamins. Okay.
And a guy who has said on his own reality show that he doesn't drink alcohol.
Yeah. And now it's say your prayer. Take your, drink my beer.
Yeah.
Say your prayers. You know? Take your vitamins.
Drink your beers. Take your steroids. And
Okay, and his appearance just to do this. Okay.
To shill his fucking...
Just to fucking shill his shit. And
bet you the beer tastes like crap, too.
Oh yeah, I'm hearing, you know...
It probably
shit
tastes
online.
Like Moosehead.
It probably tastes like...
Oh, shit.
It probably tastes like Coors Light, but, like, lighter. I don't know. Like, American beer sucks. I'm just gonna say it. I'm sorry, but, you know, it's...
We've definitely got... We have better beer and better cigarettes.
Yeah, even our versions of...
Does it taste like Stone Cold?
I hope not.
Wouldn't know.
But,
Stone Cold's gross.
The 2 liter of beer you can find at your local beer vendors. Yeah. But
plastic bottle.
Yeah. I don't know if that shit's available in America, but yeah, don't buy it. But I don't know, even Canadian versions of American beer, like even Canadian Budweiser is better than American Budweiser.
No doubt.
Yeah, Canadian Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is considered like one of the most redneck beers you can buy. Like, sorry, I go out when I go out for an evening, I just drink Pabst because it's $5 a can, and you don't find that anywhere these days. Because
right.
I'm not paying $9 for a can of fucking Kokanee or Alexander Keith's. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
So the old Hulkster comes out. Jimmy Hart's there waving the flag and all that, and the booze.
Oh.
Just come.
The booze, and we're not talking about the alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it. I know exactly why they're booing Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And
clearly it's politics, and they were in a left-wing city, and all the Democrats just hated him because he was at a Trump rally, and blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And even on the next day on a podcast, Mark Henry even said he knows why he got booed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because even Mark offered him, he's like, do you want to come to a tour of black schools and talk to kids? And Hulk was like, nope.
Yeah.
I think black schools, it doesn't really come off a little too, I would say African-American colleges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hulk
yeah.
was like, nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's like, no, it doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah,
the next day, if you made the mistake like I did of going to message boards and comment sections and all that social media.
I had so much fun.
I
had so much fun.
It was, they just booed Hogan because he likes Trump.
Yeah, and they were in California. Yeah,
I think there was a little more to it than that.
Well, and you point out to these people that like the Undertaker was there and he had Donald Trump on his podcast recently.
Yeah, he's a big Trump sucker.
But people cheered him. He came out to a Kid Rock song, just to put the cherry on top of that sundae.
But at the same time, it's Undertaker.
Yeah, and he got cheered. Triple H, he's a right wing voter. He got cheered.
He's big on the Trump. The whole WWF,
you know,
they've been in bed with Trump for years.
John Cena, The Rock, they're all right wing voters. But I'm not saying that makes them terrible people. I don't agree with their politics, but I'm not saying that alone makes them terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
But the Hulkster,
ooh.
Even if he voted left. Liberal, how I tend to, I still wouldn't think he's a good person.
And I think that's why the boos were coming down, because I'm sorry, but
the guy's a piece of shit.
Piece of shit racist.
He's a racist. He's a compulsive liar, and the fact that he was just there to fucking shill his beer.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting. It wasn't boo. It was boo earns.
Boo earns.
Yeah. And I saw this one cool meme where it's backstage. And Hogan is talking to Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Then Hogan is like, yeah, they were really booing you bad, Jimmy.
He's like, Jimmy, they hated you out there, brother. Maybe you should stay back here next time.
I've got to the point now, like, when I am online, like, I spell it H-U-L, triple K.
Triple K, yeah.
Triple K, big three, capital
Hulk
K's.
Hogan.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, I've had people respond to that by saying, oh, what, do you think he's in the KKK now? And I'm like,
you're so woke.
Yeah, you obviously have no, you can't think outside of the box. Yeah, you know, like, you have to think.
My favorite thing to do.
You have to deduce what I'm trying
to say.
When
people were bitching about Hogan getting booed, I would just comment when it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, and I'm like, it's clever, fuck you.
If it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Oh, that's another one.
Yeah.
How there are people, you know, and this shouldn't
surprise nobody's
me.
Denying that, but we don't owe him undying loyalty because of it.
Yeah.
That's like the main thing that I've noticed with a lot of people is that they feel like they owe someone something because they did this.
Right.
Like, no matter how terrible they get. And it's like, no, that's not... Then you're just, that's just blind loyalty.
It is. And I'm hearing a lot of stuff like wrestling fans, I think Hogan fans have no sense of history.
No.
Because if there's no Hulk Hogan, there would be no wrestling. I'm sorry. I kind of remember, well, I wasn't there, but geez, all those MSG sellouts that Bruno did.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
Not a Hulkster in sight.
Yeah, you know, those Shea Stadium sellouts that the WWF did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Texas, World Class, the Star Wars cards, 17,000 people, you know, in Reunion Arena on fucking Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Kids wanted to put all their new toys away and go to the wrestling cards on Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, like... You know, in the AWA here in Winnipeg, a secondary market. Every month, we had monthly AWA cards. They weren't all sold out. Some of them tanked. But for the most part, the old Winnipeg Arena was packed.
Mm-hmm. They still do wrestling shows in Japan on Christmas.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They're big. They're Freedom's deathmatch shows, but it's just like they sell out.
Not to sound culturally insensitive, but do they celebrate Christmas in Japan? I don't know if Christianity is really a thing
I
there.
I don't know. I don't know.
So I don't think that's really a thing. And like Christmas is really a thing in Japan. So December 25th is just another day.
Because when Kasai puts on his deathmatch cards on Christmas, he calls it Xmas Bloody Xmas.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just a gimmick to them. Who knows? But.
And they sell out Corrigan Hall.
Again, not to sound like culturally insensitive. I'm just not certain.
You know what? I'm not 100.
I don't know what either. I don't know what religions Japanese people have if it isn't Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So like I know like another like India, they don't have Christmas. So I don't know. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll admit it. I'll look it up after. So, you know.
I would actually argue that Hogan has done more damage to pro wrestling in general.
Oh, for sure.
Then because with the national expansion and all that, the WWF went through the roof.
Mm-hmm. But he used a lot of that to politic his way into situations.
Oh,
that,
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And the national expansion hurt the territories,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people took one look at the circus and said, "This isn't my wrestling anymore," and
dipped.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Bruno did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He even said in that documentary that came out I think the day after he passed away, a documentary came out on the network about him. I was just like, oh, that was suspiciously quick.
Uh-huh.
That documentary that came out, he even said himself, like when Vince took over at first, he said, oh, I don't want any part of this. I want out. So yeah. Like, because it just wasn't what he would grew up to know under Vince Sr. And then once Junior bought it, and I know how much Vince hates being called Junior, so I'm going to call him that.
Junior.
Once Junior got a hold of it and, started injecting his own stuff into it.
His lethal dose of poison.
His lethal dose of poison.
And if you're a blue-collar worker guy, okay. Jesse Ventura wanted to unionize the WWF,
and yeah, and the Hulkster
Hogan stooged right to Vince, and then it got squashed. Ventura said Hollywood's coming, and all that. Okay,
wait, that just reminds me. If Hogan's supposed to be at Saturday Night Main Event next weekend, and Jesse's doing commentary again,
ooh, interesting.
Yeah,
you think he's gonna come out as Hollywood Hulk Hogan?
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, he's like, you fans turn your backs on me.
It'd be like,
so now you get this, brother.
I mean,
you
hearing
stick it,
hearing the NWO theme again would be cool. I won't lie.
Yeah, but without Scott Hall there,
yeah,
seems wrong. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I doubt I doubt Nash would agree to do it.
No,
well, maybe he would. He's depends on how many zeros are on his check.
Yeah, how much money they give him.
But, well, I mean, Kevin, Triple H are still buds, so who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, well, old Jesse Ventura, the last little while, has really become a hero of mine.
Yeah.
You know, when he bashed everyone, all the participants of July 6th or January 6th.
Yeah.
Not Jericho's wife,
which was coincidentally the day that Raw Netflix debut was January 6th.
Where were you, January 6th? Right. Yeah. Monday Night Raw.
Watching Raw in my house.
He at one time was a Republican, but now he backs the Green Party.
Well, he had that TV show that was all about conspiracy theories for a while. I don't know if you remember that. I think it was called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, where he had like his own team of people looking into these conspiracy theories. One of which was his son. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend watching a full episode, but just look up like any YouTube videos that talk about it, and it's pretty fucking hilarious.
All right, I should check one of them out. Yeah, I remember seeing ads for it, but it was just, I don't know if it's anything that I really want to get into. But before we get into the turnbuckle talk, maybe we should talk about something a little more positive.
Yep.
Okay. Penta.
Penta, yeah.
Made his big debut with the WWE.
Yeah, after being in AEW for, well, since the inception, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. And like all the online stuff you were reading about them leaving and Rey Fénix being a little more open about it than Penta was. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But
and Fénix and stuff being taken off AEW shop.
Yeah. And well, yeah. And now Rey Fénix is like basically being held captive because of that one option in his contract being added, like injury time being added. Yeah. So
okay.
Originally they were going to debut as a duo, but Tony decided to exercise that little clause in the contract where he could keep him around for a full year, I think. So it's going to be a while since we see the Lucha Bros in WWE. Mm-hmm. But this past week we saw, Penta, formerly known as Pentagon Jr., formerly known as Penta El Zero Miedo, formerly known as
Penta Om.
Penta Oscuro.
Yeah. I think I'll just stick with Penta.
Yeah.
Or Pentagon Jr., yeah. Thank you.
But
it might not be a bad thing, though, because if Penta gets established,
mm-hmm.
okay, and then they bring Fénix in, and put them together, like, that's a natural rub right there for Fénix. They've got a built-in star just for being associated with someone who's over,
mm-hmm.
provided Penta gets over. Or do what they did on the indies to make money, like they did with, like they do with Owens and Zayn, have them feud.
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, then they can...
But yeah, like I don't know. I guess that's more of a we'll see what happens. I just my biggest hope with either of them is that I hope they don't get lumped in with the LWO and just join up with that group.
Oh,
and yeah, because that's what happened to Dragon Lee when he got signed. He's like he joins the LWO and it's like yeah you go over here with the rest of the Latinos.
And when Andrade came back, LWO.
Oh no, he's not in LWO. He's on SmackDown.
Oh.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing, but yeah, still. Like, and then you got Legado del Fantasma over on SmackDown, but they're barely on TV. And yeah, so you got your two Latino factions, but none of them are really doing anything. So that's my biggest hope with Penta is that he doesn't get lumped in with that. But that being said, his debut match against Chad Gable couldn't have been any better.
Yeah, it was
fantastic.
Yeah.
Gable
match.
Made him look like $1 million.
Well, I'd say they both made each other look like $1 million.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know much about this Gable guy, but he gives me
a Kurt Angle.
A Kurt Angle.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's which is a good thing. Like,
yeah.
Kurt Angle.
Well, they were doing the "You amazing. Suck." Yeah, people have he's adopted the "You Suck" chant.
It's in this theme too. You hear
yeah.
the
yeah, yeah, oh yeah. That's totally on purpose.
Yeah.
Yes. Last week I was watching an NLL lacrosse game,
mm-hmm.
and the ref made a bad call.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. PA guy starts playing Kurt Angle's theme.
Oh.
Okay. And with the National Lacrosse League, they play music while they play. It's fantastic. I love it. I wish hockey did this.
Okay.
Okay. They're playing while the game is going on. They're playing Kurt Angle's theme. Sure enough, there's a handful of people going, "You suck.
Yeah.
You suck."
Yeah,
at the appropriate time. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crap. Totally marking out over a wrestling thing, watching lacrosse
mm-hmm.
and all that. Which,
and then some people that are going, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that might not have gotten it, but whatever. I got it. That's all that counts.
Yeah. but no, I'm excited to see where Penta goes from here, but I hope. I really do hope that they don't team him up with Rey Mysterio. Because I think that would just kind of be like a little bit of a death knell for him.
Yeah.
And like Michael Cole even said, like, a lot of people refer to Rey Mysterio as the greatest luchador of all time. But I have to say that Penta is a very close second. And I'm just like, you say that about everybody.
Well, yeah, he's
like every time a new luchador comes into WWE, it's like he's the next Rey Mysterio. He's just as good, almost as good as Rey Mysterio. And you know what I want? I've already told this to a couple of people. I don't know if I told it to you guys because I kind of wanted to save it for the show. My biggest hope for Penta is that he turns heel and turns on Rey Mysterio. Maybe they do team up a couple of times, but I want him to turn on Rey Mysterio and be the one to retire him.
Yeah, Rey's
okay.
Final.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, WWE is like reaching out to other foreign markets and doing pay per views in other countries, if they do a pay-per-view out of Mexico.
They are. Backlash is there.
Is that guaranteed? Has that been announced?
Bad Bunny posted it.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't officially announced by the company. True. So, yeah. I'm not going to take Bad Bunny's word over it. Yeah.
He's not exactly my source of information.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, take that with a pinch of salt. But, yeah, if they do a like a bigger pay-per-view, you'll say maybe this year, maybe next year, if depending on when Rey wants to retire. I would love it if Penta was the one to retire Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And speaking of Rey, I got to give the horns down to his daughter. Who was that? At
SmackDown last?
Yeah. When, who did Rey wrestle?
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and Owens is beating the snot out of Mysterio right in front of his kid.
And she's just smiling.
She's got, no, like, you're seeing your dad getting the tar beaten. Okay, she's smart to it, okay? But you're on TV. Sell it.
Yeah.
Show that you're concerned. Like, oh my God, my dad's getting... Come on, kid.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, like they, and she was involved in an angle before. So,
she
knows better.
She knows the drill.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Like, even when Dominic and Rey were having their match at WrestleMania a couple of years ago, like, she smacked Dominic in the face. Like, she knew it was up. Like,
and she knew better.
Yeah, she did.
I liked how Dom's response to that was like, I saw a cup. I'd had to do it.
Yeah.
When he threw the water.
Oh, yeah, he threw the water in his sister's face, yeah.
Like, that was just an on-the-fly, like, Dom was... It's like, he's like, I've always wanted to do this.
So that hit, that smack was probably legit then.
Yeah.
He was probably just like, well...
Like, even said, he's just like, oh, that was on the fly, and...
Yeah. Guaranteed there. Afterwards backstage, she was probably just like, what the fuck, Dom? Well, she probably doesn't swear. They're a good Christian family.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
yes.
But...
What was that?
Yeah.
Eh. Like, but it was funny.
Yeah.
That was funny, huh?
It's like, let's watch it back on TV. See how good this looked.
With Dominic, though, I was seeing TikTok videos of Liv Morgan,
mm-hmm.
and she was figure skating, or she was skating
mm-hmm.
in a hockey rink by herself. You know, and people are like, Morgan is out without Dominic mm-hmm. and all that. And part of me is like... You understand, okay? Like, I understand kayfabe, and I agree with kayfabe and all that, but that's long gone, and so part of me is like, you know what? She's not really with him.
No.
But another part of me that wants to keep the kayfabe going is thinking, well, she can do things without him.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you see Mrs. Snowy here?
Mm.
No, like, I can do things without her. She can do things without me. Like,
mm-hmm. No, I get it, but like, obviously they have teased that they are going to be splitting up ever since, yeah, when after Rio won the title back and Dominic was like, hey, you did it, give me a hug. And she just boots him in the...
Right.
Boots him in the Three Amigos.
I said that to a friend the other day.
Yeah.
A friend of mine shared an Instagram reel of Dominic getting kicked in the nuts. I was like, oh, right in the Three
right
Amigos.
In the Three Amigos. Not saying he has three testicles, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's,
you know, if you know what I mean.
There's three components.
Yeah, exactly.
Three components.
The left, the right, and the center.
That's it. So with tonight's, I almost call it creature feature. Like
creature
we,
feature.
Like our old interviews on Radioactive Metal.
Yeah.
Used to be for our crossover listeners for our Turnbuckle Talk for Wrestling Night in Canada. I was thinking about how, I guess, probably the biggest angle in pro wrestling right now has to be this bloodline group against this bloodline group.
Well, I think that has come to an end, seemingly. But okay. now that Roman Reigns has won back the Ulafala and is now officially the tribal chief again.
Right.
And like, then The Rock put it around his neck for him, which I thought was going to lead to The Rock giving him the rock bottom. But right.
we were just sitting there like, we were
hoping for it. But then it just didn't happen, and we're like, oh, well, what the fuck? So The Rock is just a baby face now. Like, all that final boss shit from last year is just kind of like whatever.
He's gone.
Like, give it up for Cody Rhodes. I'm gonna fuck your mom.
Say hi to Mama Rhodes for me.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on the Shining Wizards Network. On Mondays, it's the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the year of Duke and Rogue, covering a year's worth of classic wrestling, and the Tots Paw, introducing the world to wrestling action figure collecting. Also on Mondays, it's 30 Screams or Less, a weekly review of horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Rounding out Mondays, it's The Shining Wizards, covering everything in the world of pro wrestling. On Wednesdays, it's the Mark Order Podcast, keeping you up to date on everything AEW. On Fridays, it's Horns Up, as Radioactive Metal brings you everything in the world of heavy metal music. And on Saturdays, it's the ROH Revelry, covering everything in the history of Ring of Honor. The Shining Wizards Network is also the home to other great shows, like Bread Club, bringing you the latest from New Japan Pro Wrestling. The Brocast, your watch-along from Down Under, featuring the greatest wrestling matches in history. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, paying homage to the greatest shows in the history of pro wrestling. Wrestling Night in Canada, a focus on wrestling with a North of the Border spin. Going Underground, taking you back to everything in the history of Lucha Underground. An Inconclusive Breakdown, keeping you up to date on everything happening in the world. Enjoy all of the amazing shows on the Shining Wizards Network, available wherever you listen to podcasts and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
For the longest time, the Bloodline, whether it's against the two factions or just the Bloodline versus the Faces.
So was Kevin Owens
whatever.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
You know,
it was the predominant storyline in WWE, or it has been for the past 5 years. Yeah.
It's been that long?
Yeah, it's 2020 was when it started.
It's definitely long-term storytelling.
Yeah, it was August or September of 2020 when it started. Yep.
And so it's been like...
Four and a half.
On a level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like when people were... When there were a lot more people watching wrestling... The whole Bloodline thing would have been, you know, right out there in the stratosphere, just in terms of exposure and importance when it comes to angles in the WWF slash E. Or if I really wanted to be a smart ass, I should say the WWWF slash F slash E, I guess, you know, because we have three different names for it. Over the years. Anyways, it kind of got me thinking, well, what are some of our picks for our favorite, what we think were the best angles over the years? Like, without any, you know, without any rules or any rhyme or reason and all that, I thought maybe, you know, let's sit down and kind of share with our listeners what we thought over the years, some of the best WWE angles have been. And we're probably because I'm the oldest. I've been probably exposed to the most angles. So my list is probably going to differ
quite a bit.
Yours. Like, and you've got what, 10 years on Ducky, I guess?
Yeah, around there.
Okay, so what you're going to say might differ from what you're going to say. So I thought, okay, this might be a pretty good conversation. So we'll just throw it out there right now. We'll just go in alphabetical order. You know, Ducky, what
I have to say Austin McMahon.
Yeah, like that was a long running feud that went, that had many peaks and valleys. That kind of plateaued at WrestleMania 17 when Stone Cold turned heel and and shook hands with the devil himself.
Still cool though, because heel Austin I like.
Yeah, not a lot of people did, even because he was just like a paranoid goof, essentially.
He had the Disturbed theme.
The Disturbed theme was pretty cool, but...
They just released a new mix of it, too.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. The guitars got lost in the mix.
But,
Mr. Producer over here.
But I mean, like, with a song where, like, that primarily, like rides on the riff of... When the guitars get lost in the mix and you lose that, it's like...
His theme song is the best thing that I like about Stone Cold Austin, you know.
And then when he got back to his normal self is when Eddie hit him in the back of the head with a beer bottle.
Oh yeah. Well, that wasn't it, or wasn't it after the invasion angle wrapped up and suddenly he was just a baby face again, and it's like
And then he like did the whole Shawn Michaels lost his smile thing, and we're like, where's the old Stone Cold?
Oh, yeah.
We want the old Stone Cold.
Yeah, Vince said that before he turned his back on the WWF and joined up with the Alliance.
Yeah.
He's like, I need the old Stone Cold. The Stone Cold that wouldn't take shit from anybody.
Yeah.
There's just some wrestlers that the fans don't want to boo.
No.
You know, I remember they tried to turn the Road Warriors in the NWA heel. Didn't really work.
Nope.
You know, like, and people just don't want to boo, didn't want to boo Stone Cold, you know.
Well, it's the same thing happened with Eddie Guerrero a couple of times. They tried to make him a heel, and it's just like, even though he was lying, cheating, and stealing, everyone still cheered for him.
See, I thought it was cool. Yeah. I never really got that, but
John Cena's Thuganomics gimmick.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what turned him face to begin with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They tried to turn Becky Lynch.
Yep.
And they just.
Well, it's because they did it against Charlotte Flair. That was the biggest thing. People. Yeah. Like, way to be tone deaf. Well, that was during the Vince era still. So that's, yeah. Mm-hmm. But
they're not booing or Vince. They're saying, woo.
Yeah. Eventually, they course corrected and, like, made the right choice. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Austin McMahon was perfect for, like, especially for its time, because, like, the WWF was a soap opera for guys.
And also, who doesn't want to shit kick their boss?
Right, exactly. I was going to say.
Who doesn't want to put their boss in the hospital and then come in there dressed as a doctor and smack him in the head with a bedpan?
I'll take it from here, nurse. Yeah.
Oh, I just
love how in that, when you're talking to Vince, you can slightly hear a ping, ping.
Oh, like, no.
Austin finding the sweet spot. The way
that he hit his head with that bedpan was just perfect. Like, the sound that it made.
This is Austin in the hallway, just testing it on his own skull, going, where do I hit Vince?
When he hits him in the ping and just followed by Vince going, ah!
Ah! He's punching him in the leg. Ah!
Yeah.
Ah!
Oh, yeah, just fucking, like, punching his cast.
I have to admit now, this idea has got me thinking, like, how many of my former employers would I want to that I
hit with a bedpan?
That I disliked, and there weren't. I lucked out.
Yeah, I have. You know, I have one former boss that I'd like to do that to. I'm not going to name any names,
of course,
obviously.
No.
Yeah, I don't need any slander lawsuits on my hands.
Yeah. What about you? Well, the first angle that comes to WWF angle, like, I just, you know, I had to, because as I'm making my list, I'm starting to write NWA stuff down. It's like, no.
Yeah.
WWF.
Yeah, we're talking about WWF. WWE.
We'll do an NWA show another time. But so, what's the first one that comes to your mind?
Well, I wouldn't say the first one that comes to my mind, but, like, one that stands out that I really, really liked was actually from 2008. Not even in the Attitude Era. This is, like, pretty much just at the cusp of the PG era.
Okay.
And it was Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels. It was when Chris Jericho had adopted that character where he was wearing suits all the time, or right before he started wearing suits, and he was very stoic and, like, not it was like the anti Y2J essentially.
Okay.
Yeah, and he had Shawn Michaels on an episode of the highlight reel, and he basically started cutting him down and, like, basically telling, like, pointing out all the weak moments of him, his career, and how he's a shadow of his former self. And then it all ended with him, like, tossing his face into the Geritron 5000 and breaking the glass over his face. And that led to the two having a series of matches that's lasted from, like, June until October, this feud. So, there was one moment where Michaels cost Jericho the Intercontinental Championship, which led Jericho to get back at Michaels, and it ended up, like, there was a part in there where Michaels' wife got involved, and she ended up getting caught in the crossfire and getting attacked or getting hit inadvertently. And
Shawn moved, and
And then Jericho, at one point during this feud, won the World Heavyweight title, and then those two ended up having a ladder match at No Mercy to cap off their feud.
They took the title off CM Punk because Jericho and Michaels needed the title.
Yep.
I don't even remember any of this.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess you weren't watching, but that ladder match between Jericho and Michaels for the World Heavyweight title, this is for, like, big gold, who I'm talking here. Okay. Like, yeah. And the tug of war that they had with the title at the top of that ladder.
And they both were leaning so, backwards. Yeah,
that was so like anxiety inducing. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, I was 22 and a full grown ass man at the time still, but
that's funny how you think someone in their 20s is grown.
Oh man. At the time I thought I was a grown ass man because I was 22 years old, and now here I am like 6 months away from turning 39.
And then I turned 32 in a few weeks.
That's right.
Yeah, your birthday
your
is around
Royal
Rumble
always
time.
A good bash. Yep. Right on.
But well, the Royal Rumble's in February this year, so we're not gonna be able to watch it on your birthday at your place, but well, we can still watch it at your place, but nevertheless.
We'll do something.
Unfortunately, yeah, I think it's the first time that the Royal Rumble's ever been not in January.
Yeah.
Now that I think of it. Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to check out that. What you said, it's a No Mercy?
From 2008, yeah, No Mercy 2008. It was, yeah, ladder match for the World Heavyweight title. It was like short.
Is that up on the...
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know for sure, but yeah, it should be. But yeah. It was the short-haired Jericho, that era of Chris Jericho, yeah.
Okay.
Chris Bon Jericho.
Chris Bon Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah, versus Shawn Michaels, and yeah, like that.
He believed in Bon Jovi.
Yeah. But yeah, that feud I think was better than their one from WrestleMania 19, which was basically all about ego, but but it's still
Shawn
good.
Michaels.
Oh. Of course not. But yeah, it was one of the best feuds that Shawn Michaels had, and it happened to be like towards the end of his career. So yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, do so. Please do.
I have what I call a love, mostly hate relationship with the WWF.
Of course.
Ever since the national expansion.
Yeah. No.
One of the things that I have loved, okay, was Bret Hart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not only just as in the
80s. As a good old Canadian boy.
from Stampede, okay, and like the Hart Foundation, the tag team in the 80s was great. Got the push as a single star. It was absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the angle that I enjoyed the most involving Bret Hart, okay, was, well, basically the Hart Foundation, okay, versus the rest of the WWF.
Just versus whomever.
Right, right. And, you know, and Bret Hart versus Steve Austin.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Hart Foundation versus Stone Cold.
Basically, Bret Hart versus the rest of the WWF. It was, it worked so well because in Canada, being a good old Canadian
Bret Hart
boy.
Versus America.
he was the face in Canada.
I know.
He is the heel in the U.S.
Like that I imagine that event in Calgary was like what coined the term bizarro world whenever WWE would come over here. Or even when WCW would come over here when Lance Storm was doing that whole like America sucks, Canada is better gimmick. Yeah.
And he won the U.S. title and changed it to the
Canadian
title.
Won the Cruiserweight title and renamed it the 100 kilograms and under title.
Like
in honor of the metric system.
The Canadian Hardcore Championship.
No, it was the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title. SHIT.
See, stuff like that is amazing. I absolutely love that. And we, you know, and once they started bringing in Owen.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Pillman, Davey Boy Smith, Jim Neidhart, like these are all okay, and Brett and Owen were Canadian, but the others had
Neidhart,
that connection.
No, Jim wasn't Canadian?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought he was.
No. No. His time in Stampede wasn't very long, as I recall. So yeah,
well,
but
obviously
you know,
Davey Boy was Davey Boy's British and Pillman, obviously he's American.
Oh,
but,
Bad Company.
Yeah.
I remember in 88, Bad Company, my two favorite tag teams were both called Bad Company.
Okay.
Pillman and Bruce Hart in Stampede and B-A-double-D, the AWA World Champions, Diamond and Tanaka.
Did they come out to Bad Company?
They came out with Bad Company's Bad Company.
Okay.
That year in 1988, the band Bad Company put out one banger of an album with their Dangerous Age record. Mm. So You like the worst Bad Company in 1988? There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Well, 1988 had a lot of good albums come out.
Oh, they did. Yeah. They did, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, like the whole Bret Hart / Hart Foundation versus the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
I was right into it. Right into it. And
that was like just before I started to get into wrestling, so I don't remember it. Yeah. I don't remember. I got into wrestling like right around... probably just after the Montreal Screwjob, because as far as I remembered, Bret Hart, he was always a WCW guy.
Oh, okay.
And then looking back, when I was able to get the internet, looking back, I was like, he was WWF champion?
And that's another thing, the whole Screwjob and all that. Like, damn right I was in Bret's corner for that.
Of course. Yeah.
You know?
So was Rick Rude.
and when we got the Netflix... Okay, I remember getting on, like, calling you guys up and saying, like, what was the name of that in your house there, the Hart Foundation and all that? And I had to look it up, and I went straight to it, and I loved it. It was absolutely
Stone
fantastic.
Cold getting booed.
Stone Cold, like, even them booing the Road Warriors or Legion of Doom was kind of weird, but I understood why.
Bizarro World.
And come on, watching Bruce Hart smack Steve Austin at ringside like that. That's what I'm talking about.
Canadian Stampede in your house.
It was absolutely fantastic. That whole angle, you know, Bret versus the Patriot with the flag match, you know, and then Bret, like, you know, in Canada, you know, we have the healthcare system. In Canada, we care about our sick and our poor.
The WWF in your house show from here was called Great White North.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know, but I'm on YouTube.
Okay, well,
we know the title of it.
Yeah.
There's also on the WWE YouTube page, there's one called WWE Winter Combat, so maybe, I don't know.
Interesting. But you bringing up Bret Hart, like, talking about, like, the Canadian healthcare system and all that, that reminded me of this one match that in WCW where Dean Malenko, who was the heel, took on Chris Benoit, who was the babyface, in a flag match that happened in America. It's like,
wait a minute.
Yeah. It's like, what exactly were you expecting to happen here, Vince Russo? Like,
okay,
one's Canadian, the other's British.
Yeah.
GCW update. It starts at 7 p.m. 5:30. The kickoff event started.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So we're not.
We're not going to miss a whole lot.
No.
Oh, okay.
We're good.
Okay. Cool.
I was just like, is it? I'm confused. And then as I was scrolling through YouTube, searching up WWF in your house, Winnipeg, I was like, huh? Oh, just the kickoff. Okay. We're fine.
It's almost 6 o'clock. So yeah,
we're good.
Okay. Yeah. What about you? Throw another one out there.
I want to say, I liked Triple H and Austin's feud.
From the early 2000s?
Yeah.
I feel they went a couple of rounds.
Yeah.
That ended with
the three stages of hell.
Mm-hmm. I watched that pay-per-view last week. Fuck.
Yeah, that was a really good match.
That should have been the main event.
Yeah, no doubt.
Surprise it wasn't.
But it wasn't for a championship, so...
But damn, was it good.
Yeah, that was the one where it started, like, there was, like, just a normal match, and then a no DQ match, and then Hell in a... or Steel Cage, or Hell in a Cell?
Steel Cage.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
then... And then when he knocks the timekeeper's table over, and there's a barbed wire bat under there.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like... Or when he pulled the sledgehammer out from under the announce table, JR, did you put that there?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one where it ended where they both hit each other simultaneously with the barbed wire bat and the sledgehammer,
and
then Triple H fell on top of Austin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And you could just tell after they were so tired.
Well, back then those types of finishes weren't as saturated as they are nowadays. No. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah,
They
had a blood feud. That was the very definition of a blood feud. Yeah.
I also actually like JBL and Eddie's feud.
Oh yeah, for the WWE title.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was a classic. And it's kind of weird thinking that those two were like the best of friends backstage, and they're just literally beating the fucking hell out of each other.
Yeah.
But I guess if you put your trust into the hands of someone else, it's better
like
than your best friend.
It's like even on the Vault too, where JBL was just like, oh, that house show, in El Paso where there's like they were giving Eddie's mom a quote unquote heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
That was all Eddie's idea. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, what do I do? Like he looked at him after. He's like, what do I do? And he just looked at him and was like, get the fuck out of here.
Mm.
Run.
Yeah.
What they did with like, I don't like JBL. I don't like the character and I definitely don't like the guy. But from APA, and even before that, wasn't he like a cowboy?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the young guns.
I think his name was Justin Bradshaw. Hawk Bradshaw. Yeah, Justin
Hawk Bradshaw.
And then they
turned him into APA.
Oh, no, he was the Acolytes first.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were part of the Ministry of Darkness.
Right.
And actually, Don Callis was the one who introduced Farouk and Bradshaw as the Acolytes. That lasted for a cup of coffee. And then he went to ECW.
Yeah.
And because he was the Jackal.
He was the
TNN rep. He was the Jackal in WWF, and then he brought in the Acolytes. That lasted for like a couple weeks, and then he went to ECW as like the TNN company rep.
Mm-hmm.
And Cyrus the Virus. But then the Acolytes ended up joining up with the Ministry of Darkness, and then that all disintegrated, and then they started showing them backstage playing poker and smoking cigars, and then people, Crash Holly wanted to pay them for protection because everybody was after him for the hardcore title. And that's how the APA was born.
Right. And then from APA, he went solo and
Wall Street tycoon.
Do you remember the TV show Dallas?
Yes.
That might have been before your time.
I never watched
it. JR.
Who shot JR.
Swear to God, that's who JBL was.
Modeled himself
and it worked. And you forgot, that this JBL guy was the APA, the Acolyte guy.
Oh, because he shaved his goatee, cut his hair, dyed it blonde, and
totally
like,
reinvented himself.
Comes out there with comes out there in a limousine with longhorns on the front of it.
Yeah.
Oh, and like I will never forget the first time he ever came out as JBL, and he's just like walking down the aisle, shaking hands with people, and he's just like gets in the ring. He's like. Excuse me for a second, but I was just shaking hands with some common folks, so I got to just take out this hand sanitizer real quick. And then he started getting booed, and I was just like, here we go.
It works. And it worked.
I never thought he'd be WWE champion for a full year, though. Mm-hmm. Never even thought he'd be WWE champion. So,
yeah.
But according to Paul Heyman, the only reason he was WWE champion for a full year was because Triple H didn't want to work on Tuesdays.
Yep.
That's one of the best burns I've ever heard come out of Paul Heyman's mouth. Yeah.
One of the greatest matches of all time. Okay. WrestleMania 3. Randy Savage defended the Intercontinental Champion title against Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
The Intercontinental Champion belt.
One of the greatest matches, if not the greatest match of all time.
Oh yeah,
we remember we remember what a clinic they put on
for the time too.
But we sometimes might forget the build up, to
the angle that led up to it.
You know, because Savage, like it goes back when George the Animal Steel was Elizabeth had a thing for Elizabeth and all that, and that pissed off Savage because
you stay away from Elizabeth.
Yeah, not only and that's a real life thing that they put on screen.
Keep shining my belt,
you know,
like even with Savage Hogan because he thought Hogan was
right. Yeah,
and then he put out that diss album.
Oh, the rap album?
Yeah.
Be a man, Hogan.
If I ever find that, I'm actually going to buy it just for shit.
Oh, yeah. Just some bullshit album to have. Yeah.
Out of all those guys.
What are you listening to? Macho Man.
Macho Man.
Two rap albums, Body Count and Macho Man.
Out of all the people from that era, though, that are still alive, it sucks that like one of the only ones is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, when you think of the fact that like. Piper and Savage especially. The fact that they're gone.
Piper's gone, Dusty's gone.
Yeah. Elizabeth is gone. Savage is gone. George Animal Steel's gone.
Thankfully, Steamboat's still with
Steamboat's with us. But like they had that whole thing, Steel going after Elizabeth. Savage was defending her and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steamboat comes to Steel's aid. Against Savage, and which of course Savage fires back by dropping the ring bell over Steamboat's throat, which brings us to WrestleMania 3,
mm-hmm.
which that whole build up was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Was perfect. And even afterwards, Steamboat wins the title, and they had a series of matches afterwards, including, and I by that time I had kind of given up on going to the WWF live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I kind of regret this now, because right after WrestleMania 3, they had a Steamboat Savage cage match for the IC title, which Steamboat ended up winning. And mm-hmm. of course, Steamboat wanted time off because his wife told him he was going to, and they put the title on Honky Tonk. It just one of those what the fuck moments.
Yeah. And then, you know. and because of like last minute booking decisions and like having to change things on the fly, Honky Tonk ended up being at the time the longest reigning Intercontinental champion.
Yeah. Like that was the best thing that. You know, that was the best, because Steamboat's kind of whipped.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the best thing that ever happened to Honky Tonk.
Yeah, but just because of, like, essentially being, like, a victim of circumstance, if you want to call it that, he became, like, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion by chance
mm-hmm.
before dropping mm-hmm. it to Ultimate Warrior in, like, 10 seconds.
Oh, God.
But,
yeah.
But, well, thankfully, Gunther is now the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time.
True enough.
At 600,
which I'm good with that.
At 666 days.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And they kind of took the same idea, you know, with the mega powers.
Mm-hmm.
The mega powers.
The mega powers.
oh, yes. That's it. That's what I'm calling them from now on. The mega powers.
This is. I will never forget their handshake and how awkward it looked.
Yeah. Like, this is how people shake hands.
Mega powers. And like the first time I heard that, I was like, over on the other channel, Nikita Koloff just turned face.
Mm.
Teaming with Dusty Rhodes as the superpowers, Savage's face, teaming with Hogan as the mega powers.
Coincidence? I think
what a coincidence.
So I'm not going to go into details with that because, you know, we're looking at the clock now. But that was.
I much preferred
long-term booking.
I much preferred the team of the Ultimate Maniacs with Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. Or no, sorry, Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior. Just their promos alone were just the most. That was like cocaine fuel, essentially.
Yeah. What do you got? Give us another one.
Isn't it my turn?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, right. My turn. Okay, one of my favorite ones, and this is in the last, just over a decade now. This happened. The Yes Movement.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan and Movement. Yes. And I do love the buildup to this and everything that happened, because this is one of very few times that fan reaction was so overwhelming that they forced to change their plans.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon did not get his way. Yep. That's why one of the main reasons why I love this so much, because Daniel Bryan was this everyman who lost all the time, but the fans just absolutely adored him
mm-hmm.
because he's a fantastic wrestler and he's just an overall likable guy.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. DBD. Yeah. But just the way like how he was constantly held back by the authority, and how like he would be stripped of his world title that one time, or how they had the referee Scott Armstrong in their back pocket, and like then it all led up to Daniel Bryan not being in the 2014 Royal Rumble, and one of the only times you'll ever see Rey Mysterio getting booed.
Yeah.
Like as a result.
Mm-hmm.
But
they booed the rest of that match.
Yeah. After Rey came out number 30 and they realized that Daniel Bryan was not going to be a part of that match. Yeah.
Isn't that the one Roman
won? No, that was the one Batista won.
Right.
Yeah. Because the main event at WrestleMania was going to be
Batista Orton.
But then because of the fan reaction, they kind of were forced to inject Daniel Bryan into it. And like, but they had to take steps to get there. The opening match of the night was Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. And the winner of that match would go on to would be put into the main event match.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan ended up winning that. And then Triple H ended up beating the shit out of him with a steel chair afterwards. Mm-hmm. So he had his arm in a sling and then went on into the match and made Batista tap out. And actually became world heavyweight champion at WrestleMania, and like the crowd reaction with him seeing him hold up the WWE championship and big gold simultaneously and just doing the whole yes thing. on the announce table.
And
tables,
then we all know what happened a month later.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, his injuries and his concussions caught up with him at the time, and he had to be stripped of the title.
Yep.
But, well, he won the Intercontinental title at the next year's WrestleMania.
Yep.
And then, of course, injuries and had to be stripped of the title and blah.
And was forced to retire.
Yeah. So he's never actually lost the Intercontinental title or the World Heavyweight title. Yeah. So, you know, that's something to think about.
I still loved on AEW.
10 years going as IC champion, 11 years going as World Heavyweight champion.
I still loved on AEW when he was a bad guy for a little bit. And he's like, when I won the world title at WrestleMania, I defended the title. I wrestled the very next day.
Yeah. Oh, he did. Yeah. But,
that was cool. I like that.
But, yeah, just like the overwhelming fan participation and reaction to get him to that point was so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, one of the very few times in history that Vince McMahon didn't get his way. And had to do what was right for the
fans.
Otherwise, yeah.
That's right.
And despite what they may tell you nowadays with revisionist history, and they say, well, that was the plan all along. Yeah.
Sure.
It's like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
Dave Meltzer, that was always.
No, well, no. I'm sure Dave Meltzer's a little smarter than that. It was like it was the shills that like Road Dogg said. It's like, well, yeah, but that was the plan all along. Yeah. Like, because. Oh, okay. They were gonna get Daniel Bryan to do this, and they were building him up, and yeah, the entire plan was for him to be in the WrestleMania main event with Orton and Batista. It's like, no, it wasn't.
No,
like, if it wasn't for the fans reacting the way they did, WrestleMania 30 would have been another boring Randy Orton Batista main event. Nobody
and
asked
Batista
for.
Batista would have won.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Yes movement it transcended wrestling.
Yes, and that's another thing.
You saw NFL players at the side of the field doing the Yes and all that.
Oh, another thing that I loved so much about the Yes movement was that, like, even when Daniel Bryan was doing it and getting it over, Vince McMahon even told himself, and you could tell with the on-screen product, he said, well, he's not the one that's over. It's the Yes movement the Yes chant is the thing that's over. And they even had Big Show try and do it, and the fans immediately were just like, nope,
oh,
fuck you.
Yeah, nice try.
Yeah, like, yeah. Pull the wool over our eyes, will you?
All right, you got something?
Think.
Okay, while he's thinking,
about when they turned the whole Lita cheating on Matt thing into a real Matt Hardy Edge
with Edge? But Kane was kind of like involved in that whole thing.
Yeah,
at first.
No one wanted that. Yeah,
no.
they were like, okay, let's take this. Real life situation. Let's turn it into an angle
and put
and
Kane
they
in the middle.
Threw Kane in there. They,
but like
nobody wanted that.
No, but the thing that bothers me about this though is that like Kane was made to be the baby face of this whole thing, but the whole reason he was with Lita to begin with was because he sexually assaulted her and raped her.
Yeah.
Like,
it wasn't Snitsky's fault.
Yeah. And it's like, and you expect us to cheer this man?
Like, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And then when she was comatose on the stretcher, he stole the ambulance and was like, we're going for a ride.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, yeah.
But the door is open.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I don't know. Yeah, it's like we're supposed to just like we're supposed to feel sympathy for this man who kidnapped and raped this woman. Yeah. So,
and everyone wanted Matt Hardy.
Well, Chance started up, and like he was still in doing handshake deals in Ring of Honor at the time.
Right.
But when he came back through the crowd and attacked Edge and called him by his real name.
Adam, you son
like,
of a bitch.
Adam, you bastard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lita, you whore. It was like, the WWE can kiss my ass. And like the security's trying to get him. He's like, you can see me at Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, that worked so well.
Oh.
Because everyone, because this is at the point where internet was a thing. Everyone knew the real story.
Still not nearly as accessible as it was now, but like just seeing him come through and attacking them, I was just like, holy shit, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
You know, and using their real names was a good touch.
Yeah. Well, he didn't, not Lita, but he could have called her Amy, but
right. That was a good touch.
Yeah.
And just that's no one wanted Kane in this role. Like,
No, oh, especially after the whole rape angle. But I said it.
Yeah. You're. That's a great choice. I totally forgot about that. That would have been. That would have been on my list. Yeah.
Yeah. If only it wasn't for just the Stockholm syndrome booking of trying to make Kane into a baby face or sympathetic baby face and the whole thing. I was just like, no, this man is evil.
And I remember Lita cutting the shoot promo on Raw or whatever it was. And she's like, just let us live our life. Let me come out and entertain you Monday night and all that. Yeah. And let's have, sorry, Toots. It doesn't really work that way.
Lita,
you know,
was on when Lita was on Howard Stern and Matt called in and just started fucking going at her.
That wasn't Howard Stern.
No?
No, that was the WWE show, Bite This. Their internet show that existed for a while.
So that's another, she's looking like she's trying to shoot.
Matt Hardy called in and was like, hi, Lita. at first she's like, hi, Matt.
And then he just fucking went off.
Yeah.
And it just...
he's like, I'm hanging up now.
Yeah.
It just... The whole angle just made Lita look terrible.
Of course. And then, like, after that whole angle wrapped up, that's when she decided to not re-sign with the company and essentially retire full-time from wrestling, so...
Right, right. Now she's back, but she's in a commentary role, I guess.
Yeah, she's, she quit the company initially because she was, like this whole thing... Like, her personal life being put on blast in public... was apparently one of her worst fears. So, and I don't blame her. Like,
I'm not saying
what she did was right, but I'm saying, did everybody need to know about it?
Karma can be a bitch.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, true.
It's like how Vince tries to split up marriages every fucking time.
Yeah. And now when you think about it, like Matt Hardy has a couple kids with,
he's got four.
With
Rebecca, yeah.
And Edge dumped her ass and is...
He's married to Beth Phoenix. They got two kids.
They've got kids. And it's like everyone's coming up roses but Lita.
Lita was dating CM Punk for a little while. And
he was dating everyone.
That's true. Yeah, he was the tattooed bad boy.
He was
in some ways. CM Punk is more of a whore than Lita.
Punk is kind of my hero in some way.
Yeah, he's got Lita and AJ Lee. So possibly Kelly Kelly.
Kelly Kelly was another one.
Wasn't Melina
apparently
one?
Probably.
Yeah. Well,
her and Batista had a thing.
She was throwing it around to a lot of the guys.
Yeah. Batista, John Morrison, etc.
There's a turnbuckle talk as we approach Halloween. Which of the divas threw it around the most?
I don't know. The topic of body counts is pretty frowned upon these days.
And I hate that expression so much.
Body count?
Body count. Yeah. Okay, because what I knew what a body count was as a horror film fan, well, what's the body count of this? Mm-hmm. Well, it's how many people Jason killed.
Yeah.
And now it's how many people
With? Yeah.
That's totally cringe.
Or guys that have a high body count look at a girl that's like slept with six dudes and they're like, nah.
This is where I got to give my wife credit because she's like, okay, a woman sleeps with a bunch of guys. She's a slut, whatever. Okay. But guys that throw it around with a bunch of women, they're sleazy.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But according to men or some men, like, woman who sleeps around, she's a slut. Guy who sleeps around, oh, he's a player.
He's a player.
Yeah. He's getting some.
Yeah. Probably one of the biggest angles of all time was when Paul Orndorff turned on Hulk Hogan.
Ah, I knew you were going to say that one.
Like, okay, I don't like Hogan. Okay, but I remember this angle, and it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it didn't even culminate at a pay-per-view.
No.
Okay, like, it just did the house show circuit, you know, filled it up. Yeah. The biggest match,
back
and I think the blow-off for it was a house show, which they eventually put onto a thing called a VHS tape. I know you guys know what that is, but...
What is a VHS
tape? There was a VHS tape called The Big Event.
Okay.
Okay, like, if you were old enough to remember the Coliseum videos that were available to rent. There was one called The Big Event, and it was a lot. It was a house show at CNE Stadium in Toronto.
Okay.
Okay, that was the big blow off. Now imagine if that was a pay-per-view match. It was already one of the biggest angles, like, of all time.
Yeah.
Ever.
Being a pay-per-view, yeah, that would be... Yeah.
And the build-up, like, you kind of saw it, but you still wanted, you were still invested in it. You know, it's not my favorite change, but I'm just going by the idea that the impact that it had. And all that. Do we have any more? Are we looking at the clock here?
I had one more, and it was the second time that Vince McMahon was forced to change his plans because of fan reaction. Kofi Mania from 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. Or was it 2018? No, it was 2019. Sorry, yeah. Kofi Mania, which all started on an episode of SmackDown where all the people in the Elimination Chamber match had a gauntlet match. First one out was Kofi Kingston.
Okay.
He went through the entire gauntlet until he got to his last opponent, which was AJ Styles. At this point, Kofi was exhausted.
He was for an hour.
Yeah, he was exhausted and he couldn't go anymore. And AJ Styles, who was a babyface also at the time, was just looking at him and he's just like, Kofi, you don't have to do this, man. It's okay. And Kofi just like stood up and just went, no, I've been doing this for 11 years and I've been held down. And then like when he said that, people realized like, hey, he's right.
Like, he has been here for a while.
This guy's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then after that, everyone wanted Kofi. Like, he came so close to winning the WWE Championship in the Elimination Chamber. Yep. And, like, he lost. It came down to him and Bryan, and he ended up losing. Right. Which, like, yeah.
That was that. He did that jumping back thing off the rope, and Bryan caught him with the knee.
Bryan caught him with the Psycho knee, yeah. Which was just called the running knee in WWE because... Vince McMahon can't pronounce Busico. So, but
air goat.
Yeah, but
I like. Was it Bradshaw that would always say air goat?
Air, probably. Yeah, sounds like something he would say. But yeah, but just when he was like all upset, the New Day were consoling him, and like he was sitting on the steps, and the WrestleMania logo was hanging in the background, and you're just like, oh, something's got to happen. And then at the next pay-per-view, Fastlane, they kind of still kept on building up to it and building up to it. And yeah. And then eventually Kofi got put into a match with Bryan, and he ended up winning. And his reign wasn't all that good, I will say. It went on for like the entire summer, and he never headlined a single pay-per-view as WWE champion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy, and then he lost.
He was champion for 180 days. He didn't headline a single pay-per-view with the WWE Championship for one of them. The only time he ever headlined as WWE Champion, I think, well, there was the night after when him and Seth faced each other in a champion versus champion match, but that ended in a double disqualification, so, you know, who fucking cares? But,
yeah,
and then his reign ended up ending at the hands of Brock Lesnar on the first episode of SmackDown on Fox.
Yep.
8 seconds. Yep. So,
and if you think about it, Brock beat all of the black champions.
No, he beat
in their title reign.
He beat Big E, and I guess did he beat? Oh, Rock. Yeah, I guess he beat Lesnar. Or no, sorry, Lesnar beat Lashley.
Yeah,
yeah,
Rock.
The Rock, yeah, okay. Well, he's okay.
Yeah,
if you think about it, that
counts. Wow. Yeah,
yeah. Kofi, Big E, Lashley, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Wow. New Day are heels now. I see.
Yeah, without
sort of, I guess.
Boo Day. Yeah, yeah. No, they're heels. Big E's out. They kicked Big E out, and that's why like the biggest thing that turned them heel was when they turned on Big E and kicked him out.
They are getting like Dominic Mysterio heat.
Yeah, and like, well, even like backstage, everyone's just like, what was that episode of Raw where they try to go into the locker room and Rey Mysterio's just like, well, the thing is, maybe you guys should just find somewhere else to change. And they're just like, oh, well, whatever. We didn't want to change with you guys anyway.
I still loved, like, right after they turned on Big E, Dominic walked by them backstage, and he's like, I hated Big E too, but that was dumb or something. Like, that was whack.
But just like, no,
and just walked away, and everyone cheered Dom.
The fact that everybody is treating treating their betrayal of Big E like it's the worst thing they could have possibly done.
It's the second saddest moment in WWE history.
Oh, I know. No, just Big E.
First, it was Jericho Owens turning on Jericho.
Yeah,
and now it's the New Day.
Yeah, how come my name's on this? Yeah, but
how come my name's on this?
No. Yeah, because just Big E's reaction after they said that they were going on without him, and he's just like the crowd's just giving them nuclear heat, and Big E's just in the ring, just going, "This is how it's gonna end, huh? This is it." after 10 years, this is how it ends. And then he just walks out, hangs his head, and I don't know. I have a feeling that Big E might be in the Royal Rumble this year and eliminate Woods and Kofi. So
that'd be cool.
Yep. And they might even tease it on the pre-show because he's on the pre-show panel, Big E, all the time. So maybe Woods and Kofi will come up to him and have some words to say, and then Big E will just
be like, "We're in the Rumble tonight. Are you?" Ha! No.
Yeah, because you're working your desk job. Yeah, you're never gonna get medically cleared. And yeah.
And then have at one point of just them two in the ring.
Yeah.
And then Big E's music.
That's my two biggest hopes for the Royal Rumble. Big E. Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
Feel good moments, you know?
Yeah.
That's
okay, I can do that. But do we have any more?
That's all I can think of for tonight.
That's all I can think of right now as well.
Okay, well, we lose all credibility as a wrestling podcast.
Oh.
If we do not mention Larry Zbysko turning on Bruno.
Oh, okay.
Because that was pre-national expansion, that was one of the biggest things in any league, any federation, you know.
It was also way easier to shock people back then.
yeah. And it was a tried and true formula. Like, legit, Bruno brought Zbysko into wrestling,
mm-hmm.
okay, in the mid-70s. Or whatever, and Zbysko had been a really over baby face for the longest time, you know, good buddies with Bruno and, you know, fighting the good fight against the evil and all that. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where Zbysko, they start, you know, you can see, okay, he's a little tired of being in Bruno's shadow and all that. They're building it up nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, he turns on him. Okay. And that culminated, okay, in a Shea Stadium house show.
Damn.
Okay. Bruno and Zbysko in the cage. And that is like one of the biggest moments in pro wrestling history. That same card, okay, the WWF, especially come WrestleMania 3,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is when they took their big eraser. No, Hogan and Andre never wrestled before until WrestleMania 3. Well, I'm sorry,
he was the first
50,000 people in Shea Stadium might have a different memory.
Yeah. Revisionist history.
That's right. That's right.
Hogan was the first person to slam Andre.
Race never did it. Kamala never did it. I think Jerry Lawler even did it.
Ultimate Warrior.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah,
that was after Hogan, those two though. But still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it's still. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
He used to do backflip.
Zbysko. Well, Andre was very agile when he was younger for such a big guy.
So was Paul White.
Yeah.
So was his kid, Paul White.
But yeah. I feel that Paul White kind of lost it a lot quicker than
that's true
did.
But
Paul White
when he went to the WWF he kind of like that's around the time where he started to kind of lose it a little bit
so
he threw Austin through the cage
whoopsie.
Yeah. homework as well for everyone. I believe I'm trying to remember if the full match is up on YouTube, the big Shea Stadium cage match with Bruno and Zbysko. It's definitely worth a watch because like that was the blow off to one of the biggest angles like in WWF history.
I'll look for it.
Yeah. So But I think it's just about that time. We got some wrestling to get to.
We got some Outlaw Mud Show bullshit to watch, and we got snacks to eat, and we got...
That's right.
Snacks to eat, vodka to drink.
Yeah,
that's right.
We got libations that need our attention.
Me and Jay maybe had a bit too many libations on the bus.
Yeet. You feel him, sir.
So
God, that was funny.
In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.